steer everybody out. It's a wonderful deal to come together to study, to worship as we have this opportunity to do so. As we gather together and come to worship, we hopefully are always encouraged to gather. One of the first questions that you usually get asked if you end up talking to somebody about religion, about the Word of God, and your faith, someone that always ends up coming up and saying, what denomination are you? And so that's what I want to talk about this morning is why we are not a denomination. Why it is we say we are non-denominational. Again, just into the point that we are not a denomination. First thing that, and trying to find a good definition for denomination, and I just typed it into, of course, Google, and
what matters is that Christ is the one that died for you. God is the one that forgives your sins. It matters on your faith in Christ, not your faith in me, not your faith in your parents, but it's a faith in Christ, and that we all be one-minded in that faith in the Lord. In our faith, in what His doctrine, His teaching is. And so there can't be division. Again, in Titus chapter 3, we all come to be one-minded with Christ, that we agree in what the Word of God is truly saying. That is our guidance. When we read in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, when it goes forth and tells us that we are to renew our mind to the will of God, not to compromise and to change God's word to our will, but to be true to His. So we are to be one-minded in His word, and we are to come in unity there. In Philippians chapter 2, in Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 2, as it reads here, it says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being full accord and of one mind. So we are all supposed to be working towards being of one mind with the Lord, with Christ, with our Father God up above. And in doing so, we should become one-minded together as His church, as the bride of Christ. In that way, we're supposed to be one. As we study, we can all come to an agreement that the Lord tells us that we're supposed to be here on the first day of the week to take the Lord's Supper. That we all study the Word of God, that we can come to agreement that the Word of God is clear to tell us that one must be in hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all. In all. So here as it goes through, it makes the mention of the oneness, right? It talks about one church there, one body. Only one. Why? Because there's only one Savior. There's only one Father up above. There's only one Spirit that was sent after the Savior, and He taught the same thing to all. And again, if you need evidence of that, look at Paul's letters, how Paul writes through one church and he writes through the other, and he makes mention of the same thing in these letters, or he might even say in his letters, as I ordered the brethren over here, so I do to you. There's only one church. There's only one body. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. We were called into one body, not into a branch over here of multiple bodies. Again, it wouldn't make sense to draw a diagram and say Christ is the head of the church. And so we draw a head. We know what a head looks like. It's the top of your body, right? But then we say, well, there's multiple bodies. you got the Church of Christ, and then you got the Baptists, and you got Catholic and Presbyterian and Lutheran, and you start, so we draw multiple bodies around one head. Get one of them. It's not natural. There's only that been well built. The one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, it immediately fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So here, as we look at this, and we have the Word of God, we have the Bible, and you hear it, and you study it, and you read it, to those who obey and be joined to the one church that Christ has established, they have built their house well. They're ready for the storm. They are going to stand strong, and in the end, they will have a home in heaven. But for those who hear the Word of God and yet do not build upon what He's given us, their faith is based on a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of man, a little bit of His will and a little bit of my will, their house is going to be destroyed. They are going to be lost. They cannot be part of the Lord's church. They do not have a part in the Lord's kingdom. In Matthew 15 and verse 8, it says, "This people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." It says their teachings, their worship is in vain. If it's not lined up with the words of the Lord, then it is in vain. In verse 10, it says, "And he called the people and said to him and said to them, hear and understand. It is not what goes in the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, do you not know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? He answered, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. From out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality,